statistics. But if you say that, say there are, the population of Iran is 1 lakh, or Saudi Arabia is say 5 lakhs, and if their recommendation is something like, we are just taking approximations now, if their recommendation is that you should kill a cow every week, if 5 lakh people start killing cows every week, then what will happen? How many cows will they need to kill per year? That many cows will populate all of Saudi Arabia only. There's no place for Muslims also in Saudi Arabia. So even in the countries where the Muslim religion is predominant, this particular principle is not being followed. Why in India it should be followed? This was basically a plot of the Britishers to divide and rule. That's why I have one booklet on this. So this head of the Muslims, in Muslims also there were two categories, you know, the liberals and the conservatives, rather radicals and the conservatives. So among the leader of the conservatives was Aga Khan. He was a moderate. And Muhammad Ali Jinnah was like a fanatic. So Aga Khan, there is a written document of his, he says that I have studied the Quran and I do not see that this is an instruction in the Quran. And even if it is, for the sake of national integrity, we should not follow it. Aga Khan says that. I have got a written document with me. So the point is, this was a plot by the Britishers to aggravate communal feelings in India. In Bangladesh, in Saudi Arabia, in Iran, in Tibet, in, not in Tibet, what is that country over there? A small country? Which is not Israel, which is a Muslim country. Egypt, no, one more country is there. Which is Turkey. Yeah. Actually, Turkeys are very famous in Turkey. That's why that name Turkey is there. They kill and eat turkeys. But there also, in none of these countries where meat eating is so common, this particular injunction is not followed. So why in India? It's just to incite religious passions. Okay? Any other questions? Yes. Mike, mic.
In white color and yellow color, he has prescribed especially. Even the Nagpatni state the same thing when they pray to Krishna. So why is that we pray to this form of Krishna only and not in yellow color or white color?
Certainly, Krishna appears in many forms. And if the devotees worship in a particular form, there's nothing wrong in it. For example, Hanuman, he worships Lord Ram. And if we tell Hanuman that Krishna is supreme, now he may intellectually agree, but that's what the Shastras say. But it doesn't matter. He loves Ram and is happy serving Lord Ram. So among the Vishnu forms, whichever form a person is attracted to, he can worship that. If somebody is worshipping a devata, that is a problem because that is not the highest. But if by the heart's tendency somebody is attracted to say Lord Ram or Lord Narasimhadev or Tirupati Balaji, and there's nothing wrong in it. They can be worshipped. But if we see in Vrindavan, the gopis, they worship Krishna. The Vrajavasis, they worship Krishna. They know Narayan is supreme. The gopis saw Narayan, they offered obeisances to me. They asked him, where is Krishna? Please tell us, where is Krishna? So, according to the Vedic understanding, the worship of anybody in the Vishnu Tattva, that is pure. At the same time, the rasas are more in the when they are worshipping Krishna. Madhurya ras, Sakya ras, Vatsalya ras. Vishnu does not have a father, does he? He's the father of everyone. So those particular rasas are not there for serving God in those particular forms. But that does not mean that worshipping God in those forms is inferior. It is all pure, it is all transcendent, it is all supreme. The level of intimacy may vary. So Krishna has appeared in many forms and Krishna is present in many forms in the spiritual world. And if we worship him in any of his forms, that is perfect. Does that answer your question? Yeah.
Krishna has also told that he is also in the form of Brahma Jyoti. He is not different from Brahma Jyoti. So if a man worships, who usually many people today worship Brahma Jyoti, Krishna is a Brahma Jyoti.
Yeah.
So are they correct or wrong in that? Because Krishna himself has told that Brahma Jyoti is not different than me.
Yes. Brahmano hi pratishtaham. 14th chapter, 27th verse, Krishna describes this. That the Brahman, the Brahmajyoti is pratishta. I am the support of the Brahmajyoti. So what this means is that, as you saw in that picture, there's Krishna and there's a dazzling light coming from Krishna. That is the Brahmajyoti. So a devotee doesn't neglect the Brahmajyoti. He understands that the Brahmajyoti is the effulgence from Krishna's body and he respects and worships that. But he understands that beyond the Brahmajyoti there is a person. Now with the Brahmajyoti, what can we do? Shanti, shanti, shanti. It may appear nice for some time, but the nature of the soul is Satchit Shanti, isn't it? What is the nature of the soul? Achidananda. So the Bhagavatam described that somebody who worships the Brahmajyoti, he may even attain the Brahmajyoti. Ye anya arvindaksha vimuktamanina stvayasthya bhavad avishuddha buddhaya aruya kruchrena parampadam tata patanti adho anadu dushmadangrayaha. But because they do not get the shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, those transcendentalists who ascend to the Brahmajyoti, they also fall down. Aruya kruchrena parampadam tata patanti adho, they fall back. So here is the material world, here there is the spiritual world, and in between there is the Brahmajyoti. If while we are in the material world, we worship Krishna, we go into the spiritual world and we eternally live there, loving Krishna in the Vaikuntha or in the Goloka Vrindavan planet. But those who go to the Brahmajyoti, there is nothing to do. There is a shanti. And when we are ashanta, shanti is good. But somebody tells you, okay, you stay in this room now permanently for the rest of your life. From this window, we will supply you food and water. Stay here. No one to talk and nothing to do. Just sit and meditate. How many of us like to do that? Maybe for some time it's okay. But permanently not possible. So, worshipping Brahmajyoti, this is the result. They come here and there they get peace. But the nature of the soul is to be active. The soul wants ananda. Ananda comes from reciprocation of love. But because they do not know about Krishna, they cannot go to the Goloka Vrindavan. They cannot go to the Vaikuntha planets. So they have to come back to the material world. So it is not incorrect, as I said, it's incomplete. But if somebody, there are philosophers who say that there is only the effulgence, and if you say there is a person, that is imagination, they become offensive. There are Brahmavadis and there are Mayavadis. Brahmavadis, they worship the impersonal form of God. That is not wrong, that is not bad. They are also elevated. But the Mayavadis, they say that the personal form of God is Maya. They are offensive. So if somebody is a Brahmavadi, he will also be gradually elevated to the highest platform. He will go to Brahmajyoti, he will fall back, and when he comes back in the material world, he will engage in some pious activities, he may meet a devotee and he will also get elevated. But if somebody is a Mayavadi, he is offender because he says Krishna's form is Maya. What these Mayavadis do is, they say that you meditate on Krishna. For example, there is an actual story, this is like science, this is like fiction, but it's true. The Mayavadi Guru says, okay, you choose your Ishtadev. Whichever God you want to worship, you worship. Say you choose Durga. You sit and meditate on Durga. And the perfection of your Samadhi is that when by the power of your Dhyan on the form of Durga will crumble into powder. And then you have attained Samadhi. Such a mentality. The person whom you want to worship, that is the person whom you want to destroy and merge into. It's a demoniac mentality. So that Mayavad is very dangerous. Brahmavad is not. Okay?
And Bhagavad is told, tell that people used to tell we are all from Vrindavan and we are from this planet. We were used to live together with Krishna.
Yeah.
So the statement you told that from Vrindavan we can't come there. So if not it can't.
So no, it may not, it's from the spiritual world. Spiritual world, it may be from Goloka Vrindavan, it may be from the Vaikuntha planets also. It's not necessary that all of us are from Goloka Vrindavan. We may be from some other planet also. But the point is, we are all from the spiritual world. Is that okay? Any other questions? Behind there was some question. Yes.
You told that the people who worship demigods, they are also elevated. But in general, we see that the people worship demigods for their material
life,
then how they will be elevated?
Yes, good question. I deliberately did not answer this question. What is your name?
Deepak.
Deepak. Good you asked this question. Actually, sometimes in the classes I leave some points incomplete to see if somebody is hearing and they, whether they ask the question after that. Very good, you asked this question. Certainly because they are having material desires, they will not be elevated to the spiritual world. But at the same time, because they are accepting that there is someone above them, they are submitting to authority, not of Krishna, but of some representative of Krishna, some demigod who ultimately represents Krishna. So because of their act of submission, they will be elevated. And the atheist thinks that whatever I want, I will achieve by my own power. But the demigod worshipper is at least humble enough to understand that I cannot achieve whatever I want. I need the blessings of a higher power or a higher person. And that bowing down to a higher authority is the beginning of their eventual loving surrender to Krishna. That is why they will be elevated. But the elevation will depend on two things. First is the intensity of their own material desires. They will get the material desires fulfilled, but then they will not be satisfied by that. Then, if still they keep pursuing material desires, then their elevation will take a long time. And secondly, the kind of association that they get. If the brahmanas whom they are associating with, this was the Vedic program, while worshipping the demigod, the people would associate with brahmanas. And when they would associate with brahmanas, because the brahmanas would tell them, you do this and you will get this, and they would get it. Their faith in the brahmanas would increase. And in the brahmanas themselves, they are in sattva-guna. So whom do they worship? Yeah, then the brahmana, they will observe, you know, you tell us to worship Durga, but you are worshipping Vishnu. Why? And then the brahmanas will enlighten them. See, all these things are temporary. If you want real happiness, we should worship for a pure motive and we should go back to the spiritual world. And then they also become enlightened. This was a program for gradual elevation in the Vedic culture. So whether they will get elevated and how much they will get elevated depends on two things: the intensity of their material desires and the kind of association that they get. Now today's brahmanas, they themselves are not in sattva-guna. One of our devotees, he is a brahmana who does yajnas. He does vivaha yajna also. So he went to one of his relatives, Vivaha Yajna. And there, to his surprise and shock, the Brahmana was chanting the Mrityu Mantra at the time of Vivaha Yajna. And then he told him, you know, stop this Yajna. He's chanting the Mrityu Mantra. The person whose son's marriage was with her, Are chodo na, jo hota hai, hone do. So people take religion so cheaply. And they will also get cheated. That means for them, religion is just a social cosmetic. Now, some people wear lipstick and fair and lovely all. So some people put some religious show also to become attractive in the eyes of people. That sort of religion will not elevate them. So today's brahmanas are also not very enlightened or purified. So their association doesn't help people. But that is the Vedic program. That when they worship the demigods, they become elevated because they are submitting to authority and they are associating with religious people who ideally will be devotees and tell them about Krishna consciousness. But in the modern times, people don't get to associate with brahmanas and they don't also worship the demigods according to Shastra. Now they have Ganesh. Now Ganesh is only for namesake and they do whatever they want. They will have film music in front of Ganesh. So it's very unfortunate what is going on in India in the name of religion today. So these people, will they get elevated? That depends on their individual understanding. There are so many people worshipping Ganesh, depending on whatever understanding they have. And whatever way they are worshipping, they may get little or more elevation, or no elevation, or even degradation is possible. Now, if they think they are worshipping Ganesh and they start drinking liquor, then there is not no elevation in that. If they properly worship according to Shastra, associating with the Brahmanas, then there is a chance of elevation. Okay, Deep. Any other questions? Yeah, there was some question.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Actually,
yes.
Something similar happened to me. I have been keeping in Navratra Vrat for last few years. So, and what happened means last Durgashtami only I came to his Iskcon temple. So, and now I'm trying to do something in Krishna consciousness. Now my question is, should I continue to keep Navratra Vrat or not?
Yeah, good question. If we have philosophically understood and are convinced about the supremacy of Krishna and the purity of worship of Krishna, then we can offer our respects and our love and our gratitude to the previous deity that we were worshipping. And thank that it is by your mercy that I have been able to understand Krishna. And now we can focus fully on worshipping Krishna. And it is not that the particular deity that we were worshipping will get angry with us. Like, they will be happy that we have come to the highest understanding. And generally, so this is for our side. If we are not yet philosophically convinced, then we can continue that worship also, and we can try to deepen our understanding and also deepen our realization by practicing Krishna consciousness. And secondly, this is the first consideration for our own spiritual lives. And as far as your family or your relatives or circle, if they are all worshipping, they are also doing Navratra. And if you are not doing Navratra, it's going to affect your relationships with them. And just for their sake, you can do it. But your faith should not be in that. See, we don't do it because we want to get some material things by worship, by doing that particular karma kanda. We do it just so that our Krishna consciousness is not affected by it. But generally speaking, there is no need to worship. Because, and don't be afraid that I am stopping some religious activity. No, we are doing a higher religious activity. Okay? So this is how to apply. See, you may hear, understand today that Krishna is supreme. But if in your home you have an altar with many other gods, you go and tell your family members, you know, stop all this now. They will stop you coming to the temple. So this has to be applied with maturity. So all of you are probably connected with some counselor, with some senior devotee. You can talk with them. If you have been worshipping, or if you are in a setting where other deities are being worshipped, then how to adapt to that situation. You can talk, that can be talked about at the individual level. But the principle is we don't need to worship anymore. Okay? Any other questions? Yes, behind there is a question. Yeah. Sorry? What is the?
What was the speciality with Duryodhan that Lord showed him a Vishwarup Darshan? Means he was the enemy of the Pandavas. So means what was the spirituality or whatever anything should have to have so that Lord has showed him Vishwarup Darshan?
Yeah. Actually, everybody who participates in the pastimes of the Lord, either in an intimate way or an inimical way, they are all special. So even Duryodhana is a special soul. That's how he gets to participate in Krishna Lila, although in a negative way. Now, through different characters in the Mahabharata, as well as in other literature, but especially in the Mahabharata, Krishna teaches different lessons. For example, through Karna, the lesson is taught that misdirected loyalty can lead to disaster. Karna is a very noble person, very faithful, very virtuous. But unfortunately, his loyalty was directed to the wrong person. Duryodhana was a religion personified. And to be attached to Duryodhana became the cause of the destruction of Karna. Just like this Muhammad bin Atta, who blew up the WTC, very faithful follower of Osama bin Laden. Gave up his life for Osama bin Laden. But is that glorious? Misdirected loyalty. So, that means if somebody has many virtuous qualities, but his loyalty is misdirected, then he will be doomed. That's what Krishna teaches to Karna. So, through Duryodhana, what Krishna is teaching is stubborn obstinacy will not allow us to be elevated by any means. So, Duryodhana was a person who was obstinate. Obstinate means hatti or ziddi. So, everybody tried to persuade Duryodhana. His own father, Dhritarashtra, his mother, Gandhari, his grandfather, Bhishma, his uncle, Vidura, his own great-grandfather, again, Vyasadeva, great-great-grandfather, Maitreya Rishi, Narad Muni. So all these great personalities, Krishna himself, they all came to try to persuade him. And not only that, in various conflicts, Duryodhana saw that my power is not equal to the Pandavas. And then ultimately Krishna, he wanted to demonstrate two things. How Duryodhana was totally stubborn, totally obstinate. So he showed him that people often say that I want to show me God and I'll believe it. So Duryodhana saw God, still he was not ready to believe. That means that is the power of the misuse of free will. If we misuse our free will, then no matter what Krishna does, that will not change our heart. That is the lesson which is demonstrated to Duryodhana. Krishna was so magnanimous to him that he went with folded hands to beg from him. When he was not ready to send the folded hands, he exhibited his universe for Rupa. Still, Duryodhana did not change his heart. Lato ke bhoot, pato se nahi mante. So Duryodhana invited his own disaster by his behavior. So Krishna wanted to show to the world that the Pandavas are not at fault in waging war. That it is Duryodhana's fault only. And so he exhibited the Vishwarupa. So Vishwarupa was not just exhibited for Duryodhana's sake, but it was exhibited for educating and enlightening all of us of the nature of stubborn obstinacy and how we should give it up. Okay? Yeah, of course. That means he saw some dazzling display of power. He saw the demigods coming out and he saw something stunning, and then it became so effulgent that he couldn't see it anymore. The beauty, I mean the magnificence, the majesty of the form was beheld only by these few personalities. Okay, any other questions? So, last question, and then we'll stop. We'll have our break. Yes?
You told Krishna is for special quality. Does Balaram also has distinct?
Krishna and Balaram, their tattva is achintya. So, I'll give my understanding of that. Maybe you can ask it to some other sannyasis when they come for a more complete understanding. Firstly, Balaram, he is non-different from Krishna. The first expansion. So, Balaram can manifest all the attributes of Krishna also. Balaram can also play a flute. Balaram also can perform Rasdila. He also has his gopis. But generally, Balaram is in the mood of the servant. There are two differences between Krishna and Balaram. One is the complexion and the second is the mood. Krishna is in the mood of the enjoyer, Balaram is in the mood of the servant. And that is why it is the expansions of Balaram which ultimately take care of the maintenance of the material world. So, once Prabhupada asked a similar question. There was an argument between two devotees. One Jamuna Mataji, one of the senior iskcon devotees, and Madhudvish Prabhu. Jamuna Mataji, Madhudish Prabhu was saying that the only difference between Krishna and Balaram is their complexion. So Jamuna Mataji is saying, no, only Krishna is the Lord of Radharani, Balaram is not. That is also a difference between them. So, no, the scriptures say the only difference is in complexion. And they went to one of our senior Prabhupada disciples, Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And they presented their argument to Tamal Krishna Maharaj. Tamal Krishna Maharaj was also puzzled. Both seem right. The only difference scriptures say is that complexion. But then we all know that Krishna is the Lord of Radharani, not Balaram. That also seems to be a difference. So he decided to present the matter to Prabhupada. Then he went to Prabhupada. And he said to Prabhupada, Jamuna Mataji is saying that, sorry, Madhuvish Prabhu is saying that the only difference between Krishna and Balaram is that their complexion is different. So Prabhupada was very grave. That is right. But he said, but Jamuna Mataji is saying that only Krishna is the Lord of Radharani. That is right. But Prabhupada, both of them cannot be right simultaneously. That is right. But Prabhupada, what is right? That you decide. So, what Prabhupada wanted to teach was that we are just beginning to understand we are not the body or the soul. So, the mellows of the relationships in the spiritual world, that is very difficult for us to understand. So in principle we understand that same Supreme Person, he for the reciprocation of love expands in different ways. But for that matter, you know, Krishna, Balaram and Radharani are the same person. There's no difference between Radharani and Krishna. Same person. Ekatmanav api dvau. One have become two. So Krishna and Radharani are the same person. Similarly, Krishna and Balaram are the same person. But Radharani manifests the mood of service in the mellow of conjugal rasa, and Balaram manifests the mood of service in many rasas, but predominantly in Sakya rasa. So, it's inconceivable to our finite brains, especially as long as we are attached to the body, to understand the mellows of the relationships. But suffice it to say that Balaram can also exhibit those qualities if required. Okay, so thank you very much. We'll stop here. हरे कृष्ण श्री प्रभुपाद की गौर भक्त वृंद की ताय गौर प्रेमानंदे. सो व्हाट इज द टाइम नाउ? वन सेकंड.